see. It's a shame sometimes we can allow things in this world to bring darkness out of us. Amen. And we're supposed to shine our light. Don't let that happen. We have a job to do. Amen. Praise God. Good to see everybody here. Hope you had a blessed week. As Deacon Sean said, the weather, we had a hint of something on Friday and went away. But we give God the glory either which way, right? We thank him in either case. So praise God for that. Now, for the order my steps, the name of this is Be Gentle, They May Be Fragile. Be Gentle, They May Be Fragile. Now, the reason why this is put here, because sometimes, especially today, we like to tell everybody what we think, what we feel. Now, the sermon we're going over is ministering, how to minister. And one of the biggest and most important characteristics to ministering is considering the other person. A lot of times when we approach other people, we'll go after them based on how we feel and how we think, and we think they should feel that same way. And, you know, if I'm not bothered by it, then you shouldn't be bothered by it. If I don't like it, then you shouldn't like it. And we make the mistake of ministering based on us. And we push more people away than bringing them to Christ. And one of the big reasons is we're not using the gentleness that he tells us to do it. Gentleness doesn't just mean you say it in a soft voice. It's how you do it. We got to be very careful how we minister to others. As you see, I have up top, if you turn your bulletins over, it has all Christians must first realize that we are never the standard. I should have put never, ever the standard. Amen. Now, what I mean by that is when I come to you, I can't go, well, I think or what I feel or what I've seen, all meaningless. And I know you may say, but Pastor, you don't understand. I've put a lot of thought into this. The danger is me. The only time the standard can be used is with God, because he is the way, the truth, the life. Keyword being the. So the standard being, if I come to you, it has to make sure I'm approaching you knowing what Christ is saying, not what I'm feeling or what I'm seeing. Look what he says. He gives a whole section to this in his word. God accepts the weak, and so should we. He shows in Romans 14, 1 through 13, he says, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on, watch this, disputable matters. Now, let me make that clear first. Disputable matters. You have a set of things that God says that are very clear that we all must do. There's no if, and, ors, or buts. In other words, to get to God, you have to go through Christ. There's no way around that. Okay, so there is no one person saying, I don't want to go through Christ to get to God. That's unacceptable. That's a indisputable matter. Okay, but this is talking about what's called disputable matters. These are these factors that I may have my opinion and you may have your opinion. It doesn't affect our salvation. And understand that. So these are these things where I have to accept you on those and don't let those get in between or cause a distance from us in any way. They're called disputable matters, and we are to accept them. And look what he says. He gives an example. He says in verse 2, one man's faith allows him to eat everything. Now, that he's showing us that this man's faith is right. But look at the other man. He said, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. He's saying, what you eat and all that, if you choose not to eat something for the Lord, amen. Go ahead and do it. If I choose to eat everything based on what the Bible says, amen. Following what the Bible says. Do you understand what I mean? And I'm not supposed to condemn you, and you're not supposed to condemn me. All right? And understand that cannot be an argument. Now, we can talk about it if somebody wants to talk about, you know, what does the Bible say about this? But because, and you have a lot of Christians that will say, you know what, I don't want to harm any of God's animals, and they say, so I don't eat. Okay. If that's what you want to do, amen. And this shouldn't be something that causes an argument. That's not going to hurt our salvation. He says in verse 4, who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or fall, and he will stand for the Lord. I'm sorry, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. I'm sorry, fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, and he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. Once again, for these disputable matters, as long as I'm staying within the boundaries of God, how I may do things may be a little different than yours. And I'm not going to judge you. You're not going to judge me. Very important. He goes on to say, for none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? Still talking about disputable matters. Okay? It says, for we all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow down before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling blocks or obstacles in your brother's way. That last part is very important. Make up your mind not to put any stumbling blocks or obstacles in your brother's way. Now, I got to show you something. I don't have it on here. If you turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, and what I'm trying to show you here is the judgment is talking about here, so nobody leaves out here saying so we're not supposed to ever judge or assess our brothers, but we got to make sure that we're doing it in the right way. This right here says not to do it concerning disputable matters. Okay, now if you go to 1 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 9, 1 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 9, it says, I have written you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral or the greedy or the swindlers or the idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave this world. But now I am writing that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother, but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater or a slanderer or a drunkard or a swindler. With such a man, do not even eat. Now watch what he says here in verse 12. What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside, expel the wicked man from among you. Now, I'm showing you that because on indisputable matters, we are supposed to assess. We are supposed to be our brother's keeper, and we're supposed to check on each other on that, okay? On disputable matters, these are things that do not affect your salvation. They're a decision somebody may work within the boundaries of God. Then I can accept. Does everybody get that? Hopefully I didn't confuse you. All right. And if you don't, make sure you see me. All right. Because it's important that you understand that, because it is our responsibility to check on our brothers and sisters who are outside the boundaries, as it says here. But we're talking about, in this case, going back to your page, disputable matters. So at the end of that, what we just read, it says, make up your mind not to put stumbling blocks or obstacles in your brother's way. So now, as a Christian, when I approach somebody, I have to be very careful how and what I say. Because even if what I'm saying is true, it may have the chance of pushing them away. Do y'all get this? And I have to always go with that mindset of how can I communicate or plant a seed but not cause any damage. And the key with that is understanding, getting to know them. We know the Bible says we have to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. And we understand that we have to make sure we understand where that person is coming from. We have to be patient. But we have to make sure we're very gentle, because we can get in a lot of trouble for pushing Christians away instead of bringing them to us. Watch what it says to us about strong Christians. It says strong Christians need to walk on symbolic eggshells for others. It says in Romans 15, 1 to 2, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak. Now, what does that mean? Some of you are in the Word and you're studying, and you understand exactly what the Word says. Then you meet others that know some of the Word, and then there's other things they're a little confused on. So those who know the Word, you don't just run to them and say and throw your knowledge at them and throw what you know the Word says. You gently are careful with how you say it. Now, you want them to come to know the truth, but you got to be very careful. That's why it says we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak. Understand they're weak. Understand they don't understand, so I'm going to be patient as I talk to them. I'm going to take as much time as they need. I will not get frustrated. Y'all see where this is going? Okay? You know, and sometimes we do that. We'll tell them the answer, and if they don't get it, I'm not telling you again. Or we get mad because they're not getting what we get. And that's not how it works. It says we have to recognize at that moment they're weak. Our job is to help them to become strong. And he makes it clear here. He says, and not to please ourselves. You notice I put that in caps? Okay? So I don't minister to you for me. I'm pausing there because I want to make sure you get that. Because a lot of times we minister to people because we feel a certain way. Have you ever seen somebody do something? And it could be against God, but it bothers you. Are you really ministering for God or are you ministering for you? Did y'all get this? Okay. Now, when I'm ministering for God, I'm going to be as patient. I'm going to be as calm. I'm going to think a lot more. But when I'm ministering for me, I allow emotion and all that other stuff to get in the way. And it should not be based on how I feel. Not should not. It better not be. He says not to please ourselves. He says each of us should please his neighbor for his good to build him up. Now, when it says his good, and to understand, it's not saying for his good based on him. It means his good. Only God is good, so it means the good that's based on him, that God has for him. Does that make sense? Okay, so we're not doing it to make him happy. We're doing it based on God for his good. Everybody with me? Okay, so in other words, I'm ministering to them with an understanding of I'm trying to get them to where God needs them to be. And I got to get me out the way, and I got to get them out the way. Amen? I understand. Okay, I may understand what this word is saying. They may not. So I'm going to take my time and I'm going to be patient with them. And we must take serious what others take serious and deal with this, deal with it starting from their perspective. Have you ever said, walk a mile in my shoes or know where they're coming from? This is why we're quick to listen. A lot of times we judge as if they're us instead of us listening as if we're them. Did y'all catch that? Have you ever heard somebody say something? You're like, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. That's the problem. We didn't ask what you heard. Where are they coming from? Right? I want to know where you're coming from. It never fails. There are very few what we may call dumb things. When I sit down and I really listen, I may not agree with what they're saying, but I get to understand where they're coming from. Do you understand that? And it makes the discussion and it makes the understanding and it makes the ministry that much better. But when I just approach them with, you're wrong, and that's the answer, I already blew it because I'm basing it on me. Do y'all see the problem here? Okay, it cannot just be based on me. He shows us in Romans 12, verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. The Greek word is Philadelphia in there. That's the love that we show or treat one another as a brother. Okay, it's saying devoted to one another. In other words, whatever it will take, you are my responsibility. Does that make sense? I'm going to get it and understand it, and we're going to work together to get you there as much as we can. That's brotherly love. Like I say, when you have a friend, sometimes people can go, I had to, you know, do without that friend, and things were going the wrong way. But usually when it's family, you'll go, I can't because that's my brother. I can't leave him because they're my brother. You know what I mean? We'll usually say things like that. Well, what brotherly love here is, that's the type of love we're supposed to have for Christians. That's the love in which I can't leave you. You know what I mean? You may get on my nerves. You may frustrate me. All these things has nothing to do with me. I have to show that love to you. I have to communicate that love to you. He says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love and honor one another above yourselves. If I see you slipping, it becomes my problem even over me. Does that make sense? I want to help you. And I'm going to do everything I can. I won't go, oh, you're inconveniencing me. I had other things to do. Oh, here he comes. I don't feel like talking to him. No, it's what will it take? I'm here for you. This is from God. How we minister is just as important as what we minister. Understand that. How we minister is just as important as what we minister. Look at what it says in 1 Peter 3, 15 through 16. It says, but in your hearts, set apart Christ as the Lord. So in your purpose, make sure you're living for what Christ is saying. He's the Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. It says always be prepared. So in other words, why are you a Christian? Why are you doing what you do? Could you answer that question if somebody came and asked you that right now? And would it be correct? Watch this. Now I'll explain what that means. He's saying, but do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Now, two words. Gentleness comes from the Greek word praeutes, which means mildness or humility. And respect comes from the Greek word phobos. That's where we get phobia from. But it's more of a respect of, and it comes from that Greek word phobos, and it means to alarm or fright. In other words, for something to keep me stable or out of it because of that fear. So it's saying gentleness and respect. I have to understand when I'm talking to you about what I'm trying to talk to you about, I have to respect where you're coming from. Now, let me be clear with this. One thing we've been doing wrong as Christians is we're supposed to minister to the world. Okay? This includes every group. It includes every lifestyle. It includes every religion. Do you understand that? One thing we've done wrong as Christians, I could say to the homosexual community, is we've been pretty mean to them. Now, the lifestyle is wrong, as the Bible says. It makes it clear. But we're supposed to love and minister in the right way in order for them to understand that. You see, today, also as Christians, we're pretty harsh on the Muslim community. We're supposed to minister to them. We should be able to go to them and minister to them for them to come to Christ. But we're too busy bashing them. And that can be a dangerous thing. Does that make sense? In other words, in no way am I saying to accept the wrong of where they're coming from, but we have to be in a way that we can approach them. And he says two things: with gentleness and respect. We don't boldly go to them arrogantly and angrily, letting them know that they're wrong and we're right. We lovingly go to them and say, man, I was wrong. Praise be to God that I got on a path to right, and that's what I want to help you do. Does that make sense? We got to be approachable in these things. That's why when it says always be prepared, when they hear that I'm no different than them, it gives them an understanding that I'm not preaching down to them. I'm trying to talk to them as somebody who was the same. Does that make sense? Everybody get that? Okay. So the gentleness is going to be an understanding of, remember, Jesus died for all of us. He didn't go, I came here, and this group, they're pretty good, but this group. Y'all get that? You know what I mean? And that's what we do. We act like he came down really for this group. And no. He says, God so loved the what? The world. He didn't say, God so loved Canada. He didn't say that. You know what I mean? He says, he so loved the world. Okay? So we understand we have to minister to the world. Amen? And we got to be gentle. We have to understand that, man, somebody ministered to me. I want to minister to them. Right? And I got to do it in the right way. So the gentleness and respect is understanding that I was them and I had this opportunity. And it must be done with love. Now, we hear that. And I got to be careful. And you heard this in the sermon. We use the term love kind of loosely because we as man have redefined love. Okay, now the Bible, we'll go to 1 Corinthians 13, you get the chance, and it shows us what true love is. 1 John also breaks down what true love is, okay? If it doesn't have those elements, it's not love. It might be desire, it might be a good emotion, but it's not love, okay? So be careful that you're not using some human definition of love, but you're using God's definition of love. Because remember, God is love. Amen. So we have to make sure we're using him. So it shows us in 1 Corinthians 8, 1 to 3, it says, now about food sacrificed to idols. Watch what he says here. We know that we all possess knowledge. Now here's the part. Some of us may study and we grow in God's word and we know it. And then when we start knowing it, we start forcing what we know. And look what he says here. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Have you ever known something and you're so quick to just tell somebody about it, you didn't think of how to tell them? When to tell them, at that moment, if to tell them. You see where I'm going with this? Sometimes, just because we know it, we're so quick to throw it at them, we may have lost them. Right? We may have been the one because we're showing how much we know instead of lovingly saying, wait, I got to use this to help them. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? If I just go tell them, you got to do this, get saved, and it's going to happen, most of them will turn away from you and say, I'm gone. I got to be shrewd, as the Bible said, right? And gentle, as doves. So we understand this. It's showing that knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And he says in verse 2, the man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know. The Pharisees, Sadducees, and religious leaders, they were brilliant in the Bible, but they were all headed to hell. And you may go, why? Because they knew based on knowledge, but they didn't apply love. Do y'all get this? And I'm talking about God. They did not apply God to it. And not applying God to it, they knew nothing. They had intelligent knowledge, but they didn't have spiritual intelligence. There's a danger in that. They could not minister to them. And Jesus let them know that. Now, gentleness is a requirement for ministers. It shows in 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26. It says, and the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of the truth. And they will come to their senses and escape the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. Now, understand what he's saying here. And I kept putting emphasis on the word must. This isn't a suggestion from God. This is a requirement from God. So as a minister, my job doesn't come here and go, they're not listening. You know what? Don't come next week because I'm not going to be here because y'all not paying attention. And I don't, you know what I mean? It's not about me. Do y'all get this? Has nothing to do with me. I don't care how frustrated I get. My frustration has to go out the door. My job is to minister to you. And I got to be gentle. And that's why he says, Lord's servant must not quarrel. So I got to stay out of debates and those things that are against God's word and any arguments. I must be kind, watch this, to everyone. Kind to everyone. That includes those who are not kind to me. You got to take that. See, we like to, we'll say I'm going to be kind to everyone, but are you kind to those? Think about it. Are you? Or are you one of those that, well, they're not going to say hi to me. I'm not going to say hi to them. Are you one to respond based on how they treated you, or are you kind, period? Amen? So must be kind to everyone, able to teach. Now, God gives us that ability, but why it says able is because what the gifts and the talents that God gives us, we're only able to do it if we rely on him. Did y'all get that? We're all able to do anything. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, all right? But if the only way I'm able to do it is when I rely on him. A lot of times a talent or a gift God may give you, you can't use because of you. You're getting in the way. You allow your emotions, your anger, your frustration. You have patience. Remember the fruit of the Spirit? Part of the fruit of the Spirit is patience. But you have some of the most impatient Christians. How can that be? Because of you. If you're truly a Christian, you have Christ in you, but you still find yourself being impatient, you're not relying on Christ. Do y'all get this? Okay, so I have to make sure that I'm able to teach, but that means I have to rely on him and get me out the way and not resentful. Not even just being a minister, but even a Christian. I've heard and watched people say and do things that can hurt. Very frustrating. And then what happens is we change, and we should not. Do y'all get this? We should not. That because they said this to me, and I can't believe they said this to me, and I'm so angry at them, and so on and so forth, and we become cold, then we become worthless. You understand that? I think nothing as harsh was ever said to us that was said to Jesus. Do y'all get this? Jesus went through the worst of it, showed them nothing but love, came here and died for them, and you've seen the way they treated him. Amen? Understand that. So we got to get our feelings out the way so I can't be resentful. I'm going to love them tomorrow the same way I love them today, no matter what they may say or do to me. Does that make sense? No matter. My job is to minister to them. Not, well, if they're going to talk to me that way. And it goes on, oppose him, and those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hopes that God will. Did y'all catch that? It says, those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hopes that God will grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of the truth. Remember, I'm just an instrument. I plant a seed. God does the work. Do you understand that? Even as a minister up here, I minister to you. I plant the seed. God takes it from there. And that's what he says, in the hopes that. Now, God doesn't force anybody. God does what he needs to in your life, and that seed that was planted, and as it grows, you accept Christ. That's how it should work. But we still, through selfishness, through self-centeredness, just through self, get in the way. Amen? So we must be gentle. And be gentle with the weak, but not enable the weak. It says in Galatians 6, 1 to 5, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. We may hear the restore part. When we see somebody sinning or doing something wrong, we have no problem going to tell them they're doing something wrong. We miss the gentle part. What do you think you're doing? What is the matter with you, right? We really make them feel like we're condemning them. When it says there is no condemnation, it is not my right to yell at you because you made me mad. Once again, it has nothing to do with me. But it's to give you enough that you are convicted. So I got to do it gently. The thing is for you to go, I really shouldn't have done that. I really shouldn't have gone that way. You want them to come to, and then you want to be available of, so what can we do to fix this? Do y'all see this? But now if you're walking around with an attitude and already yelled at them, they're not going to come to you for help. And you may be the main person they need help from, right? Understand that. So he says, we should restore him gently, but watch yourself or you also may be tempted. And what does that mean? What it means is, if I don't listen spiritually, have you ever listened to somebody that gave you an excuse for what they did? And if you weren't listening spiritually, you go, oh, I see where you're coming from. Did you ever catch that? And I've seen this happen many times. You start listening to them and what they're saying makes sense. And you leave the faith and start following sense. You got to be very careful. If the word says something, it's clear. Do what the word says. You don't go, oh, I see where they're coming from. And I'm sure God will understand. It's not what the word says. Do y'all get this? We have to make sure that we're focused using God as our foundation, as our boundary in everything that we do. It's saying carry each other's burdens. So that's our responsibility. When I see you go through something heavy in life, it becomes my responsibility also. Now, burden is just that, something that's not of your fault, that fell on you, that you are struggling with. That becomes my responsibility also. How many of us look at our brothers and sisters? Hey, you're going through something. What can we do to help? Are you there for them all the time? But watch this. He's saying, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions, and he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. Now watch this. For each one should carry his own load. Go back to what it says in verse 2. Carry each other's burdens. Go back to verse 5. For each one should carry his own load. Did y'all see that? I'm going to show it again. Verse 2, carry each other's burdens. But verse 5, each one should carry his own load. I'm saying be very careful because a lot of times we are carrying what other people are responsible for carrying. Your load is what you're responsible for. God gave you certain things in your life that you're responsible for. I don't take over and do it. I tell us the parents a lot of times, if kids aren't working, you don't let them move in until they find themselves. They got to find themselves outside the house somewhere until they find, you understand this. And we think, they're going through something. They need to go through something outside. Now, I'm not saying this to be mean. I'm saying this, that's their responsibility. Are you allowing them to become responsible? The Bible says if man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. Do you understand that? So if he's just saying, you know what, I don't like working, can I move in with you? The answer should immediately be no, you probably won't like eating then. Do you understand this? Do you understand the key here is that's your responsibility. Now, if somebody loses a job and something happens, they go through it, that becomes ours. You know what I mean? You're going to help them with their bills. You're going to help them with money problems. You're going to be there for them because they're doing all they can and a burden happened. But the load is, I just don't feel like doing it. I don't want to do it. Do you understand? This is why we have to raise our children to be responsible. These two things are very important in being gentle. In other words, if I enable them, I'm destroying them. And at the moment, it may seem like it's great, but I'm going against what God's word says. Do you understand? But if I don't assist them when they're going through something, then I'm hurting them as well. So I got to assess and watch my brother and keep an eye on, and we got to communicate. I got to know what you're going through. You got to know what I'm going through. Do y'all see how this process works? This is why we need each other. God works through us. And we have to use that. So in a nutshell, Ephesians 4 verse 2 says, be completely humble. And you can put the be in front of all of these. Be gentle, be patient, and bearing with one another in love. That sums it all up. Completely humble. See, we can be humble in certain cases. Completely humble means I'm humble in all cases. Do you understand that? Humility, remember we learned humility. Humility is, I have no right to judge anybody down here as if they're lower than me. None at all. But I also have no right here to judge anybody higher than me. I'm supposed to consider you higher than me, but I understand both cases. So completely humble is understanding we're all in this together. Do you understand this? I have an opportunity to minister to you through Christ. I need Christ. You need Christ. It says, be completely or be gentle. Made that very clear. Watch how you're doing it so that you're not pushing them away. And watch this. Be patient. I shouldn't have to say anything on that. Everybody's patient, right? Right? See? And that's the hard part, because we're not. Even though we have full access to it. Why aren't we? Full patience means I'm going to take the time to grow in this. Bearing with one another in love. So please keep in mind, when a Christian reacts incorrectly to someone, the onus is on the Christian bringing it to the wrong Christian's attention. And it must be done the right way. So if I see somebody going in the wrong way, I don't go, I'm not dealing with them. It becomes my responsibility to minister to them. I don't go, they just don't know where they're going and they're crazy. It becomes my responsibility. I am my brother and my sister's keeper. And so are you. Amen? All right. As the word says, if the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, we take this time out to talk to our Father, to let him know what's going on in our lives. Hopefully in your prayers, you're praying for one another as well, right? That you're talking to others and you're letting them know what's going on with you as well. For those of you who'd like somebody to pray with you, make sure you see myself or one of the deacons after services, and we'll be more than glad to pray with you. And as we should always do as an example to our children and along with our children, is pray continually. Amen? Prayer and meditation. Is awesome, man, and he gives us everything we need for life and godliness. Lean and depend upon him. Amen. Help yourself.